Good. Gracie Garmire is going to be our first preacher this morning. So I'm going to pray for Gracie, and then you'll get to hear what God's Word is to us together this morning. Let's pray. God, we ask that you bless Gracie. Just bless her in this time. Help her to know that your Spirit, one who comforts, one who gives strength and wisdom, is here speaking through her to each of us, as the Spirit feels called to do. And so, God, we give thanks that you are ultimately in charge here. Bless her words, bless her nerves, and be with us all, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, hello. So each summer, the high school group here embarks on a week-long mission trip, and as most of you know, we call this work camp. In 2016, my first year, we went to Natchez, Washington to serve at the Flying H Boys Ranch. Flying H is a place where young men with behavioral issues can go to find focus and a chance to learn hard work and discipline in an encouraging atmosphere, but one with accountability. That year, I was on the roof repair team, lifting and repairing a sagging roof. The previous winter had heavy snows, and the snow weight caused the roof to sag. Our job was to prop the roof up before it collapsed completely. Though the crooked shingles and sagging roof were seen from the outside, the real work had to be done inside. We'd first remove the paneling from the loft that the roof covered. We'd roll up the itchy insulation and move around the furniture to get to the broken part. Then we jack up the roof and insert a custom-made wooden block to stop the sagging. The exterior work would come last, making sure the roof not only worked but looked good. On the fourth day of that trip, I got a call from home, something that was never supposed to happen. On work camp, it's not that parents and students never talk, but they do try to make it kind of an independent experience where students have the chance to be completely away from home and mom and dad, so I knew something was up. I was rushed into an upstairs room with some adults, sat down in an oversized chair and given a phone. On the other end was my mom. She was in the hospital. It was something with her heart. The doctors wanted to do a procedure the next day, not knowing what they'd find. My mom had felt a tightness in her chest while she was running and could barely walk the rest of the way home. When it didn't go away, she had driven herself to the hospital. She was hesitant to call me because she knew I would worry, and I did. I don't get scared often, but then I felt petrified. But there was nothing I could do except say I love you and wait for the next day. The whole evening, I was scared and I couldn't hide it. I was passed from one warm embrace to another, a blur of encouragement and support. As nice as it was, it didn't help all that much. I felt helpless. The next day, I got up, went to the ranch and worked, only because I didn't know what else to do. Pastor Matt and I spent the day in the hot sun, nailing down shingles on the burning roof, waiting for a phone call from home. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 read, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." We are taught to pray in times of need, but that day I didn't know what to pray for. I prayed that I could see my mom again, and I prayed that she'd miraculously be better. But the Bible tells us that we're weak and unknowing creatures. No one can answer their own prayers, and that's why we must have faith in God. The Spirit, the third and most confusing member of the Trinity, is the one that's part of us. The Spirit is, at least in my mind, like a string that connects us to God, and it asks for what we need when we don't know how to. Having faith is not believing that your prayers will be answered perfectly. It's believing that the prayers you need will be. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is not believing that things will be okay when you can already see the good outcome on the horizon. Faith is believing in God when you don't see him and trusting that things will be okay when you can't imagine how. So the next day, I got up and got to work as my mom went into surgery. In Natchez, I couldn't imagine how everything happening to me could be part of God's plan. I was confused. But I had to trust in God, and I had to trust that the people around me would comfort me and support me. I've noticed in my life that God often works through others to help us. His Spirit is in community with us and with the Father and the Son, and we are in community with others who follow Jesus. I've also noticed that he doesn't always miraculously heal the broken. He seems to operate much more of the time through ordinary miracles like the hands of doctors and nurses. He doesn't take the wheel, he guides the driver. That day in Natchez, I saw God in smiles and hugs like I'd never seen him before. It was only when I was absolutely helpless that I understood what faith really felt like. When we got the call that my mom was okay, I should have felt the weight lifted off my back, but I didn't, because my faith had already lifted my burden. A kind of trust seemed to have invaded my fear and worry. I was forced to trust God because I had no other option. It wasn't a fun space, but it was a good space. Looking back, there's nowhere I'd rather be than surrounded by the people of this congregation and people who God worked through. There's something else I learned along the way. God taught me that sometimes the best thing you can do when you feel helpless is help others. We are told to serve and love others, so when I couldn't solve things myself, that's what I did. I just served in the name of Christ. I had to trust that while I served others, others would serve me. And nailing down the shingles, I somehow felt less helpless. My burden was lifting. You know, it might be the reason that Jesus was so free from fear and worry was that he centered himself on serving God and others. Serving others isn't something we're called to do only when we're satisfied ourselves. And of course, it isn't something we do just to be satisfied, but it can help us. And it's often when we're in need the most that we can most adequately help the needs of others. Now, let's get back to the work we did. At the end of the week, our sagging roof was strong enough to hold up against the winter snow. The wonky shingles were straight and flush. And with the roof, my faith had grown stronger, and I was no longer sagging under the weight of helplessness. My hope is that when you feel helpless, you will remember the faithfulness of God. My hope is that when it feels like the snow weight of your life is causing your roof to sag a little bit, that you might remember this: God sees your need. But he's not up in the sky granting wishes. He's with you, jacking up your sagging beams from the inside out. That is what the Spirit is, the one who's with you. Sometimes it's through prayer, and sometimes it's through people around you, in their hands when they write you letters, in their voices when they comfort you, in their hearts when they pray for you. When you're helpless, you're surrounded by the Spirit, turning others into your own custom support blocks. And when you cannot help yourself, you can still help others, and you will often find that as you help others, the Spirit is sending work crews to help you. Amen.